All right, let's turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Hey, it's amazing. Sometimes, I don't know about you all, but I'll look out if we go somewhere out to get something to eat or do whatever, and you'll look, and man, sometimes you sit there and go, I feel like the world is the Titanic. And you sit there and look, and you see, man, all these things they've got, we have all of the earthly possessions and all the things that we want. And Americans have no clue, have zero clue about unfortunately the evil around us and the things that are going on. But man, you come here to Gilgar Baptist Church, and man, your spirit is lifted. And man, so grateful for the music and for just the spirit of optimism. And man, if you have Christ, that's a good reason to be optimistic, because we do have the answer. And again, why it's so important that we go out and give that answer out in our communities. Acts chapter 1, we'll read verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come here and worship you. And Lord God, I know my own self, the spirit within me is lifted, Lord, up because of the music and because of the songs and because of the, Lord, the focus on Jesus Christ. There's no focus here, Lord, on people on a stage. Lord, the focus is on Christ, and it's on Christ, and it's on the good music that was written and that, Lord, that's been played here and sung here, God, and we so thank you for that, Lord. As we read the scripture this morning, I was thinking this week, Lord, it's important for us to get out and give out the gospel. And Lord God, it's very important, whether it be in a church setting, by going out on visitation, Lord, but sometimes, Lord, I believe the best way is when you impress upon our hearts to give a tract to someone or to speak to someone about Christ. And Lord, I pray that we're open throughout the week, Lord. You've given me a couple opportunities this week, and man, it was so encouraging, Lord, to give out a tract to somebody that said, you know what, we're involved in the church, and we believe the same thing you do. And that was so encouraging, Lord, that there are others out there, Lord, that do believe, and Lord, but there are so many that don't, Lord, maybe haven't had the opportunity, Lord, to hear the gospel like we have. And Lord, it's so important, Lord, as you impress upon our heart, whether it be the gas station, whether it be the grocery store, whether it be riding through a neighborhood, Lord God, that we answer that call. And Lord, that's the, Lord, to me, that's the most natural way, Lord, to get in and do something good for somebody, if we can. Give them a track. And Lord God, point them to Jesus Christ. Our world today would be so much better if more people had the Holy Spirit in their lives. If more people had been saved, Lord, our lives around here, our country would be better. Our relationship would be better all across this world if people had Christ. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that the opportunity you give us this week as we go out, Lord God, that we have an opportunity to give out a tract, hand out a tract, and Lord, invite somebody out to church, and more importantly, give them the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you be with the message hour this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And man, as always, thank you for the music this morning, and I appreciate the choir. And then Mrs. Antic with the special, and then Josiah with the offertory. So thank you for that. And as I mentioned, thank you, Brother David, for filling in, and Miss Stephanie on the piano, and Miss Amber on the organ. Miss Chris is out of town too, so we got several out of town. But glad you're here this morning. I appreciate all those that filled in. I'm hoping, man, we had this. I don't want to distract you this morning, but some of you have a hard time staying awake in church. I'm not going to name any names. All right. At all. But there's this bird that was here in Sunday school, all right, and it's hanging out in these two windows over here. And so it's hitting all those windows near Sunday school. So if you're having trouble staying awake, watch for that bird, all right? And if you're awake already, that's all right. Just look up here. But you're having a little trouble, watch over there and tell me what happens, all right? Tell me what happens to that. Acts chapter 1, we read that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And we've been talking about really what happened last week after the resurrection. And what the resurrection did for the disciples, and these that had followed Christ, and really changed their life. And by the way, the resurrection should change our life, right? We're saved this morning. We talked about last week. The resurrection has changed everything. And so they got to see Jesus just days after he had, really immediately after he was risen, but as we talked about last week,
let's say a week or so after he had risen from the dead, and they got to speak to Jesus personally and really just change the direction of their life. And this morning we'll look at this in Acts chapter 1 as Jesus heads to heaven, and we're not really sure here how much of the disciples knew. The Bible doesn't tell us. Jesus had been instructing them and giving them things they're supposed to get ready for. I don't know if it's one of those things where, you know, they're standing there talking, and all of a sudden Jesus goes up to heaven, and they're a little surprised. It seems that way a little bit. The Bible tells us here after, in the next couple of verses, that as Jesus went up to heaven, they just sort of standing there looking and not sure what to do next. And the angels, there's a guy that have to tell them what they're supposed to do. But either way, this is a time where Jesus is leaving them. All right, Jesus is leaving, and these disciples and those that followed Christ are now on their own, and he gives them some instruction in verse number 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then gives them what they're going to do. He says, ye shall be witnesses. So he says, ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses. And that's something that was given to these disciples that is still given to us today. We're supposed to be going out to those around us through the power of God, being witnesses to them. And that's what God gave us to do. And these were the first ones that did that. And I want you to think about this morning, what they were going through and what their next step was, which again gives us an indication of what we're supposed to be doing too. And so let's look forward after verse number 8, and let's jump down to verse number 12. So look at verse 12. We'll start there this morning. Then returned they unto Jerusalem, these that were there and saw Jesus go up into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And then it's beginning of verse 13, when they were come, they went into an upper room. And their abode, the Bible said they were there, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, Judas, all those are there together. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So here's the very first thing they did. We have this. As soon as Jesus leaves, we have our very first prayer meeting. Now, this is not the first prayer meeting in the whole Bible, but this is our first prayer meeting. Think about this. The first prayer meeting of these disciples without Jesus physically there. And so they're meeting for the first time. Now we used to. We have prayer meetings once a month here on Sunday mornings. Many of y'all have been to a prayer meeting. We have our prayer meeting on Wednesday night at 6:30. We're used to that. We're used to getting together, praying together. Now, I think it's important we do even more of that as we can, of course, our own individual prayer. But they're praying here and praying together for the first time without Jesus there with them physically. Any other time they wanted to talk to Jesus, what they do? They just talked to him. He was there with them. All these that were there in this room, as best we know, had started following Jesus once his earthly ministry started. And so, except for his family, hadn't known him before then. And so they're there. And so look what it tells us there in verse number 14. First of all, it says this, these all continued. I think that's great. That means this, that none of these that followed, those that came to the upper room, those that were there when Jesus went to heaven, they went back to Jerusalem. The Bible says they all continued. That means none of them quit. They kept going. You know, all these apostles that had sent, now we know, of course, what happened to Judas and the hunter replaced Judas, so we understand that as he betrayed Christ. But those that were there after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, and they saw Jesus, first of all, that indicates this really happened. If that hadn't really been Jesus and Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, why would they continue, right? Why would they continue? Well, they all continued. They didn't give up. They didn't quit. They didn't go home and say, all right, Jesus is, hey, very easily, if we were there and Jesus left, it's time to go home, right? Well, he's done. He's gone. He's left us here. And so we're done with what we're doing. That's not what they did. They continued. They didn't quit and go home. They also didn't go and join another group, right? They didn't go find, okay, well, our leader is gone. He's not here physically anymore. Let's find someone else to follow. No, they didn't do that. They continued, the Bible says. They continued, and they continued to serve. They continued to live for the Lord. And, of course, we see that throughout the book of Acts. They were very patient, waiting on God. They didn't know how long it was going to be. It would take several days, but until the Holy Spirit, that power came in Acts chapter 2. But they continued, first of all. And then secondly, in verse 14, these all continued with one accord. That means they all had the same purpose there in Jerusalem. They were all trying to fulfill the same thing. And it wasn't any more, you know, John and James wanting a prominent position. It wasn't any more them complaining about what this was going on, or Peter asking Jesus, well, what's going to happen to John? Or, none of that anymore. There's no back and forth between the apostles as had been going on in the 3.5 years of the earthly ministry of Jesus. None of that anymore. Instead, they were with one accord. They all had the same purpose. I mean, they all had the same goal in mind. They all had the same spirit together. And so they're together with one accord. So they come together. So the very first thing they do is they have a prayer meeting. Before they go do anything else, they pray together. In verse number 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. So they get together and they pray, and the Bible supplication, that's asking something of God. I want you to think about this for a minute. In the 3.5 years that Jesus was here on earth, what is the history of prayer with these apostles? If you really think about it, how many times had they gotten together and prayed? Study the Gospels. You'll find the word prayer or pray is used several times about Jesus. He went by himself and prayed. The Bible says several times. One time says he went all night and prayed by himself. It mentions Jesus telling people, hey, when you pray, do this. But if you really think about, and we're not, everything's not recorded, obviously, that they did, but in the 3.5 years of Jesus' earthly ministry, there's never a time where disciples have a real prayer meeting. In fact, if we think about the prayers of, here's what we have from the disciples' prayer. Number one, we have then they asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Remember that? They said, teach us to pray. So we have that, and they wanted to learn, which is great. They had seen what Jesus had done. They said, teach us to pray. Secondly, we have, remember when I think they brought that child and one of the demons cast out, and they couldn't do it. And what did Jesus tell the disciples? This cometh forth, the only way you can get this is what? Prayer and fasting. He said, this is the only way you can get this power. In fact, Jesus is a little frustrated with them, which tells us there probably wasn't a whole lot of prayer going on. So you say, well, I know they did have one prayer meeting, and they did. Where was that? Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, James, and John. What happened? They went to sleep. That was their prayer meeting, right? They went to sleep. So all the, if you look through the Gospels and you see, boy, when's that time the disciples got together on their own and they just prayed? They didn't. And when they did, they fell asleep. So here's the very first time we have, you think about this, they go to pray together, and it's the first time they're there together. Jesus isn't there physically. Now, we know they met together. Remember, after the crucifixion, they met in that room and Jesus appeared to them. The Bible says they met there for fear of the Jews, but there's no indication that they're having a prayer meeting there together. Now, you go to the book of Acts, and we got prayer meetings all over the place, right? Because you have these apostles and these followers of Christ who finally understood for themselves what they're supposed to do with prayer. You think about it, that's all we've ever done when we talk to the Lord. It's always been through prayer. But they had talked to Jesus face-to-face for 3.5 years. Now they have to get together and pray. And you see what God does when they come together. Jesus isn't there physically. Now, Jesus can meet with them, still be there, just not physically. But they begin to pour out their hearts in prayer and supplication. They haven't had to do this before. They could always just pour out their heart to Jesus just face-to-face. Now they're praying. And they're praying as God wants them to. And so we see the very first thing, the first prayer meeting there. After they receive power, you should be witnesses. And they begin to pray together. And they prayed in prayer and supplication in one accord continuing. So that's the very first thing we have after Acts 1:8. And then that leads us, and we know what happens in Acts chapter 2. We have, of course, the Holy Spirit power that comes down. But then I want you to go to Acts chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 14. Go to verse 14. So we have the first prayer meeting without Jesus physically there. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. Now what do we have? We had the first preaching service without Jesus there physically, right? The very first time they're going to get together and have a preaching service without Jesus there. And we have Peter, who sort of takes on the natural leadership role here. And back in Acts chapter 1, he sort of led the discussion as they chose somebody to replace Judas. And now he leads this and begins to preach the very first time without Jesus there. So Jesus told them what to do. Here's what you're supposed to do. Well, they begin to do that. First of all, they have a prayer meeting. Secondly, that leads into the power of the Holy Spirit and this preaching service. And look what Peter has learned from Jesus. You remember the last time we saw Peter, we see him at the end of the book of John, and Jesus trying to speak to him there and trying to really restore that relationship. And of course, before that, we see him denying Jesus on the cross. And we see this over and over where the disciples didn't understand the scriptures. Remember that? I think we read last week. In the end of Luke chapter 24, Jesus begins to try to show them, hey, let me show you, understand what the scripture's saying about me. And we see this message. Look how quickly Peter does this here. Peter begins to preach. And look, let's go to verse number 21. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The first point in Peter's message is this: whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's still a really good message today. Hey, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone can get saved this morning. If you're not saved, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I want you to notice there, the Bible I'm using right now, it differentiates, it has a little different lettering when it's a quotation from the Old Testament. If you have something like that, you'll notice starting in verse 17 through verse number 21, this is a quotation from the Old Testament. Peter is quoting from the book of Joel. And he goes back to the book of Joel in the Old Testament and begins to quote from that. He had learned a little bit from Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus went back to the Old Testament a lot. He used the Word of God. And so Peter begins to use the Word of God in his message here. And in verse 21, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then go to verse number 27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. So Peter, first of all, his first point is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His second point is this, that Jesus was not left in hell. Jesus was not corrupted. No, the Messiah came. Jesus was the Messiah. The Holy One came, and he came, and he was crucified and resurrected for them. And so anybody can get saved, and you're saved through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, where does this come from? Starting in verse 25 through verse number 28, that's a direct quotation from the book of Psalms. And so Peter goes back to the book of Psalms, to what David wrote, and gives that truth as he preaches his message here. And then go to verse number 34. Verse number 34. For David says, he's not ascended to the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. And so his third point is this, that Jesus, who was crucified for you, has been exalted, right? Where is, as Peter is preaching this message, where is Jesus? We go back to Acts chapter 1, we'll say he went to the right hand of the Father, right? You go into Luke 24, it talks about him being the right hand of the Father. You could later in the New Testament. So he's been exalted to the right hand of the Father. So here's his message. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, the Holy One. Jesus did not see corruption. He took on our sins and paid for our sins on the cross. And now he's been exalted. And again, he quotes from the book of Psalms, goes back to what David said. Isn't it amazing how much knowledge Peter got in just a few weeks? Hey, he studied the Word of God. He studied what they had in the Old Testament, and he used that and preached as Jesus had. All the preaching services they have been to, we start back in Matthew chapter 1, you go through the Gospels. Who spoke? It's always Jesus, right? I mean, the Sermon on the Mount. It wasn't Jesus spoke, and then they had some split sessions and let, you know, Peter and James and John do it. No, Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke. Every time they had teaching, the book of John gives us a lot of teaching of Jesus. It was Jesus speaking, his disciples listening, as they're supposed to, all right? They're supposed to be listening, sometimes listening better than others, sometimes not taking in what they're supposed to. But you think about that, every time they had gotten together, when they're in the Sea of Galilee there, and Jesus was out on the boat, they began to teach and preach the people, and it's just multitudes gathered. The feeding of 5,000, over thousands of people gathered to hear. What did they come to hear? They came to hear Jesus speak. So here's the very first time. And we're used to it. We're used to having services, right? And somebody preaching to us. This is the first time where Peter had to get up. And every other time, Peter's out listening, waiting for Jesus to tell him what to do. Now he's got the other apostles, same thing. They'd all been waiting on Jesus. Now they're the ones preaching. They're the ones taking the gospel. And what a change you see in their lives as they realize what Jesus left them to do, the power to do it. And they go out, and you go through the book of Acts, and you see them preaching the gospel to those that come around. The very first time they preach the gospel here, instead of Jesus doing it, they're doing it. Jesus is not there physically anymore. So what's the first thing they do? They have a prayer meeting first, right? They get together and pray. Jesus isn't there physically. That had to be a different experience for them. Now, Peter gets up and preaches. Jesus promised, right, the power of God. He said, I'm going to leave that for you. Leave that power of the Holy Spirit. They'll be there for you. He preaches with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so then what does that lead to? Go to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You had the first prayer meeting without Jesus there physically. You had the first preaching service without Jesus there physically. Now what happens? The first people saved. Can you imagine that? These apostles for 3.5 years have been following Jesus. They've watched Jesus. And again, not always as attentive as they should have been. And they came back from going to get meat, right? And Jesus has been talking to the Samaritan woman. He tells him, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And they don't understand what he's talking about. Hey, they've seen Jesus talk to the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler walk away, not accept Christ. They've seen Jesus preach and teach to multitudes of people, and some that turned away, but some that did follow. And they've seen Jesus work. Now, here's the very first time they get to see people trust Jesus Christ, and he's not there. He's not there physically. And so they get to see this, and in fact, look at verse number 37. Imagine as Peter's preaching there and finishes his message. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They come to Peter and the apostles. They say, what do we do? You imagine Peter and the apostles trying to deal with him. Now, we do know Jesus sent them out two by two, and they went out to try to tell people about Jesus, and the Bible doesn't really tell us the results that they got from that. And so it's possible maybe in those times that they did talk, but there's not a lot of indication of that from the Scripture. We just know they went out. But we do know this, they preach this message, and here come the people and say, what do we do? To me, if I'm Peter and those apostles, my first reaction is what? Ask Jesus, he's not here, right? Hey, what do we do? He's always been here. So they always came to Jesus. Now they're coming to them. And so they get, for the very first time, these that are convicted, and they hear the truth and preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and Peter gives it to them. And they said, what do we do? Verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, with many other words that he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Peter said, you need to repent, you need to get right. Your sins have been forgiven, the remission of sins. You need to accept Jesus Christ and get saved. And he gave them that truth. And the Bible says 3,000 got saved. Why? Because of Peter? No. They understood that. Why? Because of what they had done? No. Because of the power of God that Jesus, when he left, said, I'm going to leave. Hey, here, you shall receive power. You shall receive power after he left. And that promise of power from God. And then he said, ye shall receive power, and what? Ye shall be witnesses. That's what they're supposed to do. Hey, they were doing. And for the very first time, without Jesus there physically, they had their prayer meeting. Without Jesus there physically, they had a preaching service. Without Jesus there physically, they had people come and get saved and get baptized. In verse number, look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know what they begin to see? People coming day after day after day. And the Bible gives it. What did God told him? Jesus had told them in Matthew chapter 28 before he left. He says, here's what the Great Commission is. Get the gospel to them. Get them saved. Right? Then next after that, get them baptized. And then after that, teaching them to observe all things, adding to the church, join the church. 2,000 years later, guess what we're supposed to be doing? Give them the gospel so they get saved. After that, you need to get baptized. You've been saved. Hey, if you've never been saved this morning, you need to trust Christ your Savior. If you've been saved this morning, you need to get baptized. You haven't been baptized. And then what are they supposed to do? Join the church. You're supposed to join the church. Whatever good one there is. I think it's a pretty good one. But find a church that God, hey, and get in the church. Sometimes I talk about this with baptisms, think they should join the church. Listen, getting baptized has no effect on salvation. You're saved because of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you get baptized or not. If you trust Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven. Baptism doesn't affect that. But it's still important to get baptized. Hey, joining a church doesn't affect your salvation. The only thing for that. But it's still important to do once you get saved, once you get baptized, be a part of a local church. And that's the way God set it up in the New Testament. And so those are good things to do. Well, same thing they were doing 2,000 years ago. The same promise they had. We tend to think, boy, Peter and the rest of the apostles, they all knew what they were doing. That's the first time. First time. They'd never done this before. They'd never been without Jesus. Boy, to think, I mean, every time they had a problem, they could go to Jesus. He's standing there. Hey, Jesus, here's my individual problem. What do you think about this? Hey, every time something came up, they weren't sure what to do. Well, we'll just let Jesus handle it, you know? They don't have anything to eat. Just let him handle it. Hey, we're in the middle of a storm on the sea. Let him handle it. Hey, everything that came up, he handled it. Now, here they are the first time. What are they going to do? Well, what do we do? Here's what we do. We need to pray. And then we need to preach the gospel and see people saved. You know what will happen at Gilgard Baptist Church? If we pray and we open up the word and we preach the gospel, guess what God's going to do? God's going to bless. That's what we're supposed to do. Hey, because he said, you shall receive power and ye shall be witnesses. You know what Gilgard Baptist Church, what we're supposed to do? Take the gospel out and be witnesses to others. See people saved, see people baptized, see people join the church, and the Lord will take care of that. We have a great model for us. You think about these people, these apostles. By the way, let me just go back. In fact, Acts chapter 1, go back there real quick. I want to mention this too. Look at verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Hey, in the spirit of what we're dealing with, right, and all over the world today, we want to be inclusive, all right? We don't want to exclude anybody. What does it say there? Who was at the prayer meeting? The women. Hey, women, it's okay for you to pray too. All right? In fact, that's great. In fact, some of the greatest prayer warriors there are women full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm glad that my mom, my wife, others, that they pray for me. I need it. In fact, they prayed a lot for me. All right? Because they know how much I need it. Hey, the women were there praying too. Hey, not only that, isn't this great? Look at verse number 14, the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. She's there. You think about those that have been, we know Jesus had been, I'm sure, as he got older, wasn't at his house every day, but growing up, man, she'd been around him every day. Now he's gone. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and notice this, and with his brethren. Now, I'm looking at that verse, and the only his in there is not women, it's not Mary. It says the mother of Jesus with his brethren. You know who else was there? Jesus' brethren, his brothers. Hey, those that while he's here on earth, his earthly ministry, didn't always listen, but tell you what, his family's there praying with these apostles. You imagine that as you're Peter and Andrew and James and John, the rest of the apostles, and look around, and there's Mary in the group, and there's Jesus' brothers. So you know it's about time we got right, right? And they, in one accord, prayer and supplication, begin lifting up their prayers to the Lord. Hey, as a church, if God's going to use us, it's going to be through prayer, it's going to be through preaching of the word to see the results. His formula hasn't changed. You know why? Because that formula is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses. It comes from him. And 2,000 years ago, we had a group of men and women and families that got together and changed the world, right? The book of Acts changed the world, influence on the world. You know what God wants to do today through this church and churches like it? He wants to change the world. Formula hasn't changed. Power comes from Him. We're supposed to be witnesses. Get on our knees before God. Preach the gospel. See people saved, baptized in church. Father, I pray that you'd help Gilgrove Baptist Church to continue what was started 2,000 years ago. When you allowed these people that had been there for 3.5 years and didn't understand all that went on, didn't always make the right decisions. But now, in what we read this morning, Lord, a group that came together in one accord in prayer and supplication, didn't quit, didn't give up, but continued. And then, Lord, took the truth they'd heard, or that they had spent day after day in the presence of Jesus. And they physically had been able to see Him. And they could talk to Him anytime. And Lord, it's amazing. We tend to think of that, and we want to see physically sometimes who we're talking to. But Lord, we have the same thing today. There's no restrictions on when we can talk to you and when you listen and what you'll do for us. So I pray this morning we do just as this church did, just as these early Christians did, get on our knees before you together, one accord with prayer and supplication, and then get out and preach the gospel and give the gospel to others, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and now He's risen at the right hand of the Father. And then, Lord, we continue that as we see people saved and baptized, and Lord, trust You to bring those in. I pray we'll be faithful to what You've called us to do, in Jesus' name. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning. If you're here this morning, you say this. We read the verse that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you say, I've done that. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I put my name there where whosoever was, and I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know this morning I'm on my way to heaven. If you can say that, just put your hand up like I'm doing, say, I know I'm saved this morning. Put your hand right back down. Here this morning, you say this. You say, listen, I'm not sure of salvation. You know what the purpose of the church is? What we're supposed to be doing every Sunday we get together, every time we go out somewhere, we're supposed to be telling people about Jesus Christ. And you say, I'm not sure about my salvation. Hey, will you come to the right place? It doesn't matter what we say. What's important is what the Word of God says. And just as Peter used the Word of God to preach the truth, same thing we're supposed to do today. If you're here this morning and say, I'm just not sure about my salvation, I promise you I will not embarrass you, won't call on you or anything, but I do want to pray for you. I will do that. And you say, I'm just not sure I'm saved. And if I was to die today, I don't know what would happen to me. I hope I'd go to heaven, but I'm just not sure. If you're like that this morning, would you just do this again? I won't embarrass you at all, but just slip your hand up and say, just pray for me this morning. I'm just not sure I'm saved. Just not sure about my salvation. Most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Hey, Gilgrove Baptist Church, let's continue what they started there in the book of Acts. Pray, preach the gospel, see God work in this place. As the music plays this morning, the Lord spoke to you, you come forward.
good. I'm so glad you're here this morning. And make sure if you can be back in tonight, be back at 6. Got choir practice at 5:30. If not, be back in here next Sunday morning. Don't forget our young couples class, 10 o'clock next Sunday morning over in the Christian Ed. And, man, just pray that God will continue to use us. I was thinking this morning, and some people that I know that they're not saved, man, they need to get saved. And then there's some that I know they've been saved. They really need to come forward and get baptized and get that taken care of and join the church. And, you know, what the Bible tells us this, the Lord added to the church. So we're supposed to pray and we're supposed to preach, and you let the Lord take care of that. And keep praying for that God will continue to use us to reach people for Him. Father, thank you again for all you do for us. Give us a great week this week. We're looking forward to what you have for us to do, and help us fulfill that day by day with our lives, Lord. And add, Lord, to what we're doing. We want your power in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.